In last year's annual defense authorization bill, Congress ordered the department to draw up a plan to move toward open systems architectures in key mission areas across its acquisition portfolio, buying more systems in modules with the data rights to the interfaces between them well understood and owned by the government. But defense officials acknowledge there's a fine line between owning the interfaces and demanding the rights to companies' hard-earned intellectual property. Katrina McFarland, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Acquisition, says DOD's been working on the issue since long before the congressional mandate and says it shouldn't preclude companies from differentiating their bids from their competitors with proprietary technology.
We've had open architecture guidebooks out since 2010, and we're not chasing IP rights for everything, although that seems to be a natural fear that's out there because I cannot attribute that all the understanding exists in all of my workforce. But what we're very interested in is define what you have for an architecture in the system and make it open. And in order to do that, we want to have the interface rights. So you can keep your black boxes, but I want to know the exchange and what it is so that I can have the rights to that design artifact for plug and play. We also need it for the purposes of depot and support and sustainment. So we are going to look for specific rights, and you might understand the tanker as an example. There is an example that you can take a look at that's on the web that explains why we pursued the rights that we did.
In the Better Buying Power update DOD issued on Thursday, officials said one of their objectives was to allow companies with a superior technological approach to any component of a system to win their way onto acquisition programs, rather than making an end-to-end procurement from a single vendor, and to be able to replace individual modules without redesigning an entire system. The Open Systems Initiative is being led by the Army's Director for System of Systems Engineering and Integration. The guidance DOD issued on Thursday orders that team to analyze how successfully existing Open Systems initiatives are being applied across DOD, how well program managers understand modular open systems architectures, and what barriers are standing in the way of their implementation. Also, the team's being told to take a comprehensive look at the approach DOD programs have taken to acquiring intellectual property from companies over the last 5 years and how those decisions have affected individual procurements. Frank Kendall, the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, says he wants to ensure that the government's interests in buying competitive systems is protected while also respecting industry's property rights.
I think we're doing a much better job of that. Once upon a time, I think we basically we didn't pay much attention to this, frankly. We didn't manage it carefully. Over time, we started to manage it a lot more carefully. We've done a lot to educate our workforce. This goes way back to Better Buying Power 1.0. So I don't think we're perfect yet, but I think we actually moved the needle in the right direction. Now, industry doesn't always like this because it means that we're inserting competition in a place where they'd like to be sole source in some cases. So we're trying to strike the right balance there. I don't think we've gone too far. I think we're in about the right place.
But Kendall wants to know for sure. So the Open Systems Review Team is due to report back to him by July. And by December, each of the military services and the assistant secretaries of defense will need to have final guidance and service-specific implementation plans in place for making greater use of open systems without impinging on companies' core property rights.
We can't require people to sell us intellectual property. It's their property, right? We do look at, when we do source selections, particularly in a competitive environment, what intellectual property they are asserting that they own in the product. So we understand what position we're in. And it's much more attractive to us to buy something where we do control the interfaces, for example. So we do have that information, and we can go out and do competition for subsystems later. So we also need to think about the lifecycle cost and whether we can sustain it. We want to be able to break out components and bid for them separately. If we're going to do software upgrades, we'd like to have modular software and control the interfaces there. So if there's intellectual property associated with those things, we have a strong interest in acquiring it, and it makes an offer more attractive to us if those intellectual property rights would not constrain us going forward.
But the department says there are also some selected areas within its acquisition portfolio where it believes it needs to own not just the rights to the interfaces between systems, but some of the key technologies that make its systems work. McFarland says one example is radio waveforms, an area in which the department is beginning to shun proprietary technology.
In the ISR communication space, we're working with the services to identify through the Air Force Battle Airmen's Office something called the Predator Tactical and Vortex native waveforms. That's because we've consolidated waveform management at the acquisition level inside of my shop, and we're opening up all those artifacts to full and open. And in order to do that, you need to understand and own the waveform, and we have a repository for those waveforms where we own the rights to them and can distribute them to all users so that people in the UAS area can use them and compete for them. And they'll be available to users, commercial and others.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.